The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle, and here are today's topics. Arsenal survive a nervy ending and a controversial no-penalty call in the North London derby to keep the pressure on in the title race. Manchester City maintain their hold as title favourites after Erling Haaland comes off the bench to seal the match with a second-half goal. Liverpool, title push loses its steam after a 2-2 draw at West Ham that left Mo Salah fuming at Jurgen Klopp on the touchline. And Burnley secure a crucial point at Manchester United in the race for survival, pushing Erik ten Hag even closer to the apparent end to his tenure as Man United manager. That's what we've got coming up in today's episode.
OK, mate, before we get to the Premier League, we're now less than 100 days away from the start of this summer's Paris Olympics. And Pro Soccer Talk's Joe Prince-Wright, our buddy, continues his countdown of the top 10 moments in Olympic soccer history. We're now at moment four, when Nigeria became the first African men's team to win Olympic gold. Head to nbcsports.com/soccer to relive the Super Eagles' incredible feat in Atlanta in 1996. It's a team that featured Premier League stars JJ Okocha and Celestine Babayaro. And stay tuned for number three that's coming up this week on Thursday. So, Nigeria, what a great team. JJ Okocha and Celestine, what a
player, wasn't it?
Brilliant team.
And was skillful midfield players.
Yeah, 1996. The growth probably of African players coming into the Premier League, you know, the Drogbas and the Essiens and all them followed. Yeah. So,
JJ was amazing.
Great stuff. OK, my friend.
Oh, crikey.
What a weekend we've had. We're going to start at the top of the Premier League, as we should. We're going to go to the North London derby. I think this was always seen as the big game of the weekend. This was the test, the hurdle that Arsenal had to get over if I think people believe they were serious contenders to win the title, Rob. They got the job done. It was 3-2. Not sure what you think of the game, what the scoreline. Does the scoreline reflect the game?
Yeah, I think it probably does. I almost want to say that Arsenal were a little better than that. But when you consider the penalty that was not called on Kulusevski with a little trip on Trossard, and it was 1-0 to Arsenal at that point, would have been a penalty. If it would have been scored, that would have been 1-1. It could have changed the reflection of the game. So we'll get that out of there straight away. We both thought that should have been called as a penalty. After that, Rob, I think it was as expected. in terms of how Arsenal played. I think we both said before the game, I know we were chatting to Lee Dixon.
Yeah.
And the sense was that Arsenal were in a great, condition, confident mood, form, fitness levels, everything to win this game quite comfortably. Now, it wasn't comfortable.
Yeah.
But I still was really impressed, Rob, by Arsenal's, organisation and the feel like they didn't need to go and high press and to dominate the ball and to challenge Spurs of who's going to possess the ball better and for longer periods. They basically said, you know what, to be fair, Spurs started quite well.
Yeah.
All right, if it's going to be like that, we're okay. We go into our 4-4-2 because Arsenal without the ball are a 4-4-2.
Yeah.
They're very different in possession, but they're a 4-4-2. And then they trusted the defensive strength of the team and the ability to counter-attack. And, of course, which is probably most decisive, Rob, their ability at corners.
Absolutely. Let's just go back. Let's start with the, Arsenal comfortable to go into that 4-4-2 with the defensive shell. Let's start at that piece, because I'm quite interested in, Rob, that I thought there were times last season where Arsenal were just going for it, we're going to win this game. And they left themselves bare and they left themselves open. And there was almost a little bit of we just got to win this game. And it was
And we've got to play the way that
we want to play
our sweet spot, yeah, which is the football and the little passes.
And they didn't. For me, the maturity and the maturation of this group is they're prepared to, like, I think at one point Spurs had 72% possession of the football, Rob, against winning. Yeah, Arsenal were winning the game 3-0. I think last year's Arsenal would have been opened up and, oh, it's a day we go.
Do you think they would have got frustrated at Spurs having so much of the ball?
Yeah.
Even away from home?
Yeah.
And try to
go and
to
go
play
and win
a
it,
lot
play
more,
and go and win
which
it.
Which is risking
and open
own,
up. I think that Mikel Arteta and the team have developed a more, not pragmatic because that's the wrong word,
you
but
know what the word I'm, you know my favourite word.
Durable.
Yeah.
Yeah. More durability.
There's more durability
about
the side
team
now. And back to your point, they're okay with that profile, if we call it that, that shape of profile like just getting behind the ball. City not often need to do it, but they can do it. We've seen them do it in other games, at the Liverpool game at Anfield, in certain Champions League games. We see it sometimes where they can't have it all their own way, and they've got to be happy enough at times to. Mm. And Arsenal did it, and they did a good job of it.
Is that having another option to your game? Is that what happens through maybe some of what happened last year? And you say, okay, we can't go the same again. Our other default position is this.
I think so.
Yeah.
And what? Let me put it this way. When I look back at previous champions of the Premier League, everyone has had that ability.
Mm.
I'd probably say that Man City haven't had...
Least because of their...
Because of their superiority
the
on the ball, you don't often see
different.
That.
Yeah, their possession.
You know, but I think all the other teams, the great Man United teams of the 80s and the Chelsea teams,
Chelsea's,
of course, with them.
The old Arsenal teams with Sol Campbell and...
Yeah, all based on, we got to have the ability to grind and defend well.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know... And this was your first question about the two goals went in.
Yeah.
First one was a real howler from David Raya.
Yeah.
Which was it was just a mistake.
Yeah.
Like
the
an individual
goals,
goalkeeping playing out from the back. He's normally really, really good.
Yeah.
And the Declan Rice foul for the penalty.
Yeah.
So it's not as though they got opened up too much.
No. Let me try and take you to where I'm thinking with David Raya. And again, I think I had him as one of my underappreciated a couple of weeks ago. So I'm maybe going to not just for that reason. We were in studio with Rebecca, obviously, brilliant game. Arsenal are 3-0 up, and we sort of said, if this is City now, City see this job off. You know, can we have game management? Can they keep the clean sheet that they've, you know,
was 16
already this season? And we're sitting there, Rob, in a studio with a cup of tea at half-time, and we're thinking, and we're going like, you know, game management. And do you know, sometimes, as I was thinking, after I've said it, I've thought, pretty easy for me sitting here to say that. You know, when you're in the game, like David Raya is, if that game wasn't the North London Derby, David Raya doesn't make that
62,000,
mistake.
62,000, yeah.
Because the 62,000, because of the consequences of a defeat, there's all different pressures on you that don't normally come. And there's all different pressures that when you're sitting at home shouting at your TV, that don't happen. Mm. But David Raya made a mistake, and as his manager said, he came through and they've come out the other side. So it hasn't been as costly as it could, although did sort of let Spurs back into the game. But I sometimes think, Rob, that this team are finding a way to get over those difficult times because of that defensive shape, because of maturity, because the group are now... I don't know. Last season, Saka said we would have drawn this game, and I think he's 100% right. I don't think they'd have won today last season. I think they'd possibly drawn it.
Let me just throw in a different angle here, Rob, and another reason why this season they are where they are. Corners. This is getting crazy now.
Yeah,
16 goals from corner kicks.
Yeah. I think it's by far
the highest in the league.
Yeah.
So that is their 20-goal striker instead of Havertz, who, by the way...
He got another goal.
He assisted Saka on that long, lovely long ball. He's got 12 Premier League goals right now. Fair play, by the way.
Yeah.
Fair play.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Well,
thank you.
I had doubts about it. But the manager's found a spot for him up there where he looks pretty comfortable.
Yeah.
And if you get a regular score in that, he's becoming, Rob, a regular scorer.
Yeah.
Now, you marry that with the Saka's goals, the Odegaard's goals, the Rice's goals, the Trossard's goals, the Martinelli goals. That's a lot of goals there.
Mm.
And then you throw in the set pieces and the corner kicks.
Yeah.
That's a real effect. That's the difference.
Mm.
Two goals from set pieces.
Yeah.
I did a little tactics session on it, so check it out on the NBC Sports YouTube channel.
On
tactics
the
session. Just at their couple of corners. I look at the Man City corner as well. Such an important part of the game. Now, as we move on, Rob, right, a little bit, I feel that Arsenal, as we're talking Arsenal, I haven't seen them in a better, I don't know, condition. The way they're playing, the spirit, the fight, the organisation, the quality of the goals, the balance of the team. Partey's come in and given
Partey's
a little something.
Well, mate.
Enables
Partey's
Royce
been tick.
In that number eight, which solves that left midfield. I think they're going to win every game going. I can't see... They're at that point now.
Today was the game. Today was the one where... This was Derby danger. This is Spurs. This is Spurs obviously wanting to try and get Champions League. That may or may not be put up for them. But that was Spurs stopping Arsenal. That was all... That was a motivation for those 60,000 fans in that stadium today. And they weren't able to do
Arsenal
it.
Arsenal overcame it.
Yeah. They found a way to overcome it.
On Tottenham, Rob, and I thought Tottenham played well.
Yeah,
I thought Tottenham played well. They got onto what they wanted to be on, their front foot. And I think before the game, I just thought that Spurs would have to be their very, very best. Yeah. And James Maddison would have to be at his very best. Now, he was quite busy, Maddison, but they still, credit to Arsenal's defensive ability.
Shockley,
they couldn't really break through. And that was where, I'm sure, and actually reminds me of Postecoglou's press conference, which I always look at the day before the game.
Yeah.
And his one of his big points, Rob, is that the final third is where we got a lot to grow. Where we've got most improvement needed in the final third for Tottenham. You might think it's defensively or whatever, but he still thinks the final third is where they can grow most. What I would say to that is that the Premier League's got a lot of good defenders and a lot of tough, and maybe that is the hardest piece. Do you agree with that? After seeing Spurs, I mean, I only got a couple of goals.
I didn't think they had possession.
Today.
Didn't really turn. Yeah, for all that possession, I never really felt like Arsenal were hanging on.
Cut through.
Yeah, late on, obviously, as it got to 3-2. Thing that I was slightly surprised, Rob, in the lineup, Bentancur Højbjerg is a middle two. Bentancur's a lovely footballer and can keep the ball. Højbjerg's an experienced player. I felt they lacked a little. Before the game started, for me, they lacked a little bit of athleticism in that central areas, which I thought I was worried they got overrun.
Højbjerg, I thought was a good shout, Rob, to hold instead of pursuing.
Yeah, but I'm not. For me, Bentancur, it's a Bentancur. He's 60, 65 minutes, not starting the game for me. The other thing I would say, Rob, and this is where I think they have to improve is the Saka's second goal comes from, yes, it could have been a penalty at one end, but the ball gets transferred to Havertz. It goes to Saka. Saka scores. A couple of weeks ago, I was doing the game and I did a breakdown on the thing. Bruno Guimarães wins the ball, puts it over to Isak. Isak gets another. When the ball turns over to Spurs, there's got to be another action. Whether it's the gegenpress of Klopp, whether it's a dropping off initially to just hold your space. If every time they get turned over, Rob, an opponent's going to get in behind them and possibly get a one-on-one or a shot on goal, they've got to be better at that.
I agree. Mickey van der Ven had a nightmare against Newcastle. Mm. Now, if he's at his best, and Christian Romero, I think the theory is from Ange is like, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
But I want the best, the quickest defenders that I can get. My club can get me because that's how I want to play.
Yeah.
Ben Davis is not that guy. No. And he's inherited Ben Davis and he's been a brilliant professional. Yeah. He's a good professional player, but we both said it in our Thursday format call the potential because Ange said it. He said that Ben Davis is going to play.
Ben Davis can play, and we know Udogie was out.
Wow,
like,
Saka Davis
that's a mismatch, isn't it?
Turnover situation.
It's a mismatch.
And it happened today.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, this is a rant for another time, but the amount of goals where attacking players roll inside on their strongest foot and bend it into that far corner from whichever team you want to think about, from up and down the league,
that's an attacking tweak, though, isn't it? To have opposite players on it. Yeah, I totally get your point, but I'm saying, as Mikel Arteta, that's my perfect position.
But shouldn't coaches now, Rob, be ready for that?
Shouldn't Ben Davis?
If you get one-on-one, show him the line. Show him loads of the
line.
We're
watching the game with Bex, and Bex is saying to us after, shouldn't Ben Davis be showing him the other side because he's right-footed? And it's like, Yeah, to be honest, Bex, again, maybe when you're sitting there again from you know, we've all been in games, I'm sure if people look back and these times I've let somebody come back on their strong foot and score, but I know exactly what you mean.
There's so many goals this season.
Yeah, you'd almost let Saka go on his right foot and have the shot or have the cross, and then we'll live with that.
If he goes to the right side, he's not scoring.
Yeah.
Or somebody else, but to let him come in, it was like a penalty.
That's detail, isn't it?
It was like a penalty for Saka, because he was like 10 yards out. He just strokes it into the corner. So work to do for Tottenham. I just really like what Arsenal are doing now.
Yeah.
I do. And whatever happens, Rob, you know, whatever happens now, we can absolutely say that Arsenal...
Give it a proper go, mate.
They're better.
And the manager deserves some credit, by the way. And we like to criticise him when things go wrong in decisions. He went back with Partey. He's got Trossard in the team on that left-hand side. He's got Havertz at the top of the pitch. He's got 12 goals.
He's made
good decisions, Rob, and he's been more in control of himself.
On the sideline a little bit.
On the sideline. And I think that's helped. I think he's learned from last season.
Doesn't need to be.
Don't have to be jumping around and all that.
No. Clown on the sideline.
Now and then I saw him just calming everybody down. I think it's important.
Yeah.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good game, mate. Great game. Let's move it to the Forest Ground, where there was lots of gossip and talk before. We've had a week of refereeing decisions and Clattenburg and Marinakis and Nuno
statements and the
PGMOL getting involved. We actually got down to the football today, and both of us said it's time for Forest to concentrate on the football now. Mm. I thought they came up against a Manchester City team. Like I think you said after the game, for certainly an hour,
they weren't
at the best. Mm. And Forest weren't able to take advantage of that.
That's it. That's the story right there. First half, City, the worst we've seen them.
Mm.
Chris Wood has a tap-in from 6 yards, can't manage it. Murillo, it just falls a little awkwardly for him.
Yeah, tries to hook it
but
in,
he's,
doesn't
he? He's had an attempt from 3 yards out. The first 5 minutes of the second half, same thing. Chris Wood has another opportunity.
With his left foot,
And then... That's your window. That's your window.
Yeah.
If you can't take those opportunities in that hour
against that City team,
then you then because it's only
back.
A matter of time before Pep.
Yeah. Well, he changed it at half time. First of all, they got Kovacic on.
Yeah.
Changed the goalkeeper who'd had a knock.
Yeah.
Then he
62 minutes.
Yeah. Then he
Grealish
took off. Grealish off.
Holland
on.
Bernardo Silva
out to the right. Alvarez on
De Bruyne
the other side.
A proper 10.
Yeah. Two players.
See you later.
Yeah. Didn't. Game over.
Yeah. De Bruyne to. Arland, right? We sit in the studio, don't we?
And go,
say, all right, watch. It's going to come.
Yeah.
And the Rodri to De Bruyne to Haaland, the vertical, it's sublime and effective, and they do it so many times. And at that point, they get the second goal goes in from Haaland.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's it, really, isn't it? De Bruyne to Haaland. Really nice goal, by the way.
Yeah.
Really nice, clever.
Right foot, left foot, right foot finish.
Yeah.
Good pace. I've got to tell you, so again, you know, we're always looking for different angles with Pep. And again, I was kind of quite shocked when I listened to his presser on Friday, and shocked in a good way, that he said how excited he is at this time of the season and how much he's really looking forward to winning this title, Rob. It was almost like it's his first go at it.
It's that history one.
Yeah.
Historic.
Yeah.
Four on a spin that's never been done in English football.
I get that, but still to be as hungry... What I'm trying to say is, it comes from him, mate. all that they're doing comes from him. At half-time, he makes changes and he says, guys, this ain't our day, we got to go. You know, he knows Haaland's going to give him half an hour and whatever. The drive and the determination and the motivation, we'll go on to talk about a Liverpool team where maybe those things, some of those things are not happening in the same way, comes from that guy in charge. And his kind of reach to make sure his team continue to win games. They weren't great today, Robin. They won 2-0.
Well, let me follow on from that, right? So there's four games off left for Man City. If they win all four games, they win the Premier League title, right? They make history. Yeah. Now, my note here is they gave up big chances.
Today,
they gave up big chances. Today. And that's not unusual. No, four games to go.
Yeah,
I know they've
chances.
Got strikers to bang goals in, but if they give up those sort of chances to Heung-min Son, for example, for Spurs away the last week of the season, they're going to get goals against them. Is there a day in those four where they give up chances and boom, they're behind and they don't find a way? That's got to be Arsenal hope.
I absolutely get this, the Arsenal hope. I don't see it, Rob. I remember this time last week.
They give up chances.
I remember this time last week you said, City, you've got to go to Forest. Forest are going to be flying. It's a great atmosphere. They could pull up.
Well, they could have.
They could have, but they didn't. You don't win the league with could-haves.
But they give up chances, Rob. That's what I'm saying is, in the last four games, if they're going to keep giving up chances like that...
Well, Arsenal gave up chances today.
Not many. I feel like City look more porous defensively.
Possibly. I'm not going to disagree with him, and the record would say they are. What I would say is, you know, everybody, we keep on looking for reasons why City aren't. Sometimes let's look for reasons why City are. And City is City. City have been down this road. They're going to win it. If they win it, it's four more times. It's four on the bounce, Rob. So, you know,
City... Five and six. That's five and six.
Yeah, five and six. City are going to be in a position where they go, OK, we had an off day today. Come on, guys.
I'm just trying to give a Birmingham Arsenal fan some hope here.
Very much saying that they're still in the race.
There is a doubt that City on a day...
No, there's not. To me, if you're saying to me City have got to win four games to win their fourth on the bounce, City win all four games. That's what I would say.
If they play as bad as this for the first hour, Rob?
If they play as bad, I mean, you're almost saying then Arsenal had a bad day against Villa. Everybody can have a bad day.
But the way Arsenal look right now, I'm just saying that if there's going to be a twist to this... In my opinion, I feel Arsenal are going to win their three games.
Yeah.
If there's going to be a twist, big if, that City are going to give up a couple of chances in certain games. They're going to concede goals this time and not get, you know, let off by Chris Wood. And they just might not get the winning goals on the back of that. They might drop points on that. That's all I'm saying. Well, and let's check back in with that in
a few
weeks.
Absolutely. We will do the same. Let's move it to London Stadium. West Ham playing Liverpool. Mm-hmm. It was a Liverpool team that got beat in the derby. And pretty much extinguished, I think, their title run. But listen, they're still very much in it. If they could try and get a result away at West Ham and stay intact. That didn't happen, Rob. West Ham 2, Liverpool 2. Bowen with the first goal, Robinson equalised. Areola went down as an own goal after it deflected off a couple of people. And Anthony got the...
Antonio, got the
2-2 equaliser.
78 minutes, second half.
Yeah. Two big things on this, the game and the spat.
OK, let's go with the game first.
Yeah.
First half, Liverpool, awful.
Yeah.
Right? We don't know what's the flow, the rhythm. The first half was really, really poor. They give up a goal. Mm. We did a little analysis on it. There's six Liverpool players in a tight zone in the centre and little old Jared Bowen picks it up there. Now, second half, better.
Yeah.
Much, much better. Mm-hmm. Jurgen Klopp's done his thing at half-time. You know, they come out with better football.
Yeah.
I thought Ryan Gravenberch, I thought that he's looking better and better every single week. That's a good sign for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they get back into the game with Andy Robertson, who squeezes the ball into the near post at 49 minutes. And then you think, go on then, go and take advantage. And then it was an own goal, wasn't it? It was an ugly sort of goal.
It was a Gravenberch shot that Rick said off a couple
of people. Gakpo shot.
Hit on Bonner, hit Suchet, went in off Areola.
Now, bring us in that moment in time, 60 something minute.
Yeah.
Mo Salah's about to come on to
three
the field
game
and play.
Change. Three player change.
So what the heck happened, and what did Jurgen Klopp whisper in the ear of Mo Salah
as
he's about to come into the game?
Well, it's incredible. So he was about to make the subs, I think, before the goal.
It was just before the goal, wasn't
just
it?
Just before the goal.
Equalising goal.
Yeah, equalising goal. So there were 2-1 up.
Two one up, yeah.
And then
Jurgen Klopp goes over to Mo Salah and from 3 or 4 yards away says something
not,
with
not
the some,
a, not no, an aggressive,
an aggressive way, a, just almost some
something.
Something. What? Mo Salah reared up, had a go back, pointed his finger, then had another. Seemed like he had another go back to the
and
point
Klopp
where
went back in. Give him a little bit more.
Darwin Nunes had to get in and kind of separate the two. I mean, I just thought it was a terrible look, Rob. I thought it was a terrible look.
I'd say it's a sad look. A sad look, really.
Yeah, I just didn't think...
And this don't change anything, by the way. For me...
No, it doesn't change...
Anything I feel about Klopp,
Klopp or Salah.
No, absolutely right, yeah.
But it's just... It's not a good look for the team and the manager and the way that the season is now starting to look as we go to the end of it.
How it's unravelling, Rob, is like, gosh, like this is... This isn't how it was meant to be, you know. And I know that you shouldn't expect them to finish on a Premier League title, given what's happened at the club and being in and around it.
I think being up there and even in the race was an incredible feat to keep them in it for this long. Because at the start of the season, I don't think any of us saw them being challenges.
But because they were there and because they've done it before and because
of him in that relationship.
And because of the finishing.
And sometimes that relationship with his players, Rob. Jurgen Klopp's biggest thing is he can get all of his players and drive them on. So something has gone wrong in that relationship for Mo Salah, that kind of confrontation or whatever that went on. And we shouldn't speculate
maybe not dwelling it too much. It's just a disappointing thing that we have to talk about because
we got the headlines.
And it's surprising given what these two have won together.
And then didn't Salah on the way out say, I can't say anything about it or there's going to be fire, which adds a little bit more to the... Yeah. I mean, really interesting, Rob, because Liverpool next week are at home to Spurs. Will Mo Salah be in the team?
I don't know. Jurgen Klopp might say, go on then. Go
he said he's spoken and everything's okay.
He looked so disappointed and
down.
Upset almost. Mm. His interview, I mean, not in a mood to talk about this, you know. I don't know.
They've got to be careful now that the rest of the season doesn't just fail away.
It's going to, isn't it?
I don't think it has to. I mean, it's the one thing that happens. I mean... The team and he deserves to be able to finish on winning run.
Yeah, I hope so. I absolutely hope so. And again, it will absolutely not, for me, tarnish in any way what this guy, this great guy, has done at this great club from turning it around and winning a title for the first time in decades and the everything else that he's done. So it doesn't. It's just sad. Yeah. It's just sad. Yeah, and then after that moment, Rob, Mikel Antuna does score the header, it to be 2-2, and it all feels like Liverpool are out of the title race. Mm. Does it feel like, and maybe it's easy to say it on the back of what we've just talked about, Rob, but does it feel like Jurgen Klopp, it feels like it's the right time now.
And obviously whatever was said and whatever happens in dressing rooms, it just like things come to a natural end, and it was interesting that we're talking about this when we're talking about West Ham and David Moyes. Mm. And, you know, there's an argument people are saying things coming to his natural end as well. And that is in football, Rob. And, you know, I've got to be honest, when you work under... I've worked under two managers, both for, 9 and 10 years. You do get used to the voice. You do get used to the way they're going to react to certain things. And I'm sure they do with you. And at some point...
Did it feel like it's getting a bit old now, a bit stale now? I was under Brian Robinson for 7 years.
Not so, because we had usually in both the clubs I was at, played my professional careers, we had turnover of players. So you change your players every couple of years, there's a different chemistry, a different bounce, there's a different conversation going on. Mm. Didn't always seem like the same group, but... we'll see how things play out with West Ham and Liverpool.
Do you want to have a quick thought on Arne Slot, who looks destined?
My cup's half full, so I'm going to go on that. He's 45-year-old Dutchman who apparently, if you go down a list of characteristics, you're almost explaining a Dutch Jurgen Klopp in terms of how he plays, what he wants, his personality, developed young talent. Mm. He's coming from the Dutch league, and I know you have a few reservations in terms of the quality of that and what the Premier League builds. I think he's a bright man, sounds like a smart guy. I think I said to you, Rob, I would like him to have an English coach come, assistant come, who can be the connector, can understand. James Milner would be the perfect example. Go and say to James Milner, Brian, come and start your coaching career, come and help me.
James Milner
would that be to give him an expectation of what it's like at whatever, you know,
yeah,
West Ham United,
West Ham away, or
Newcastle,
or,
St. James,
yeah,
but, what, I mean, he probably different, has a sense of
yeah,
it,
but what different things are good? James Milner will be able to read the dressing room now and then, and maybe if there's a problem somewhere, step in for the manager and have a conversation with the player. Mm. Listen, he hasn't dropped you, or he wants you to play here, or bloody, bloody, blah. James Milner would know
the fixture congestion,
the
intensity
of
the game,
how you might arrest someone or not, or and connection with the fans, Rob, which is going to be huge and as important as what happens on the pitch. But connection to the fans.
But it goes back to what he's apparently like.
Yeah.
And I think his personality is a big personality.
Yeah, yeah.
Dirk Kuyt, we both read the same article about Dirk Kuyt.
I think the Suns in the academy final. Yeah.
And he had nothing but good words to say about it.
He's really happy about it. So.
And he's a good human being, is what you said as well about him.
Yeah, I saw that line. Yeah.
Liverpool fans know that. Mm. And then, and to be fair, you need that.
Yeah,
you need to be that type of
player. If you're going to manage that football club.
Yeah. It's just a jump up. It's the jump up like every, you know, from that league into the Premier League, the bright managers that are going to be doing their thing tactically against him, the European games, the Christmas period, for example, and the amount of demanding kind of things for a Liverpool manager, it's a lot to deal with.
Absolutely.
And listen, someone's got to get a job.
Yeah,
he's got the job. Well, he's very close
like
to confirming the job.
Yeah.
The clubs have agreed a fee. It's just about his own compensation now, I believe. Like that's going to happen.
Let's talk about a club who have a Dutch manager.
Oh, blimey.
Who he believes is playing some dynamic, good, entertaining football.
Some of the best in the league, I think he said,
some of the best in the league. They drew 1-1 with Burnley at Old Trafford. And it's hard. I'm finding it harder and harder to find a way that this guy's going to be at the football club next season.
I thought you were going to say it's finding it harder and harder to say something different.
Well,
I mean, I feel we've been saying this, Rob, all season long about Man United.
Yeah, but the latest press conferences, Rob, been slightly, and I don't mean this in a dish, but been deluded to some of the things he's saying. It's
so
like somebody
remind,
in
people. Let's just remind people what he said. So after the game, he kind of he bit back a little bit to the journalist, saying that we're one of the most
entertaining
teams
in the Premier League. Yeah,
Yeah, he talked about him creating loads and loads of chances. It was Burnley. It was Burnley at home.
And by the way, he didn't create loads of chances because we looked at the data.
Stats,
in fact, the big chances, the shots and shots on target. It was almost like Robbie, some PR guy had sat him and said, Eric, you're losing this. You've got to look down the camera, tell them we're playing well. And it was almost like he was just reading off an auto cue of what somebody had told him to say. He had no recollection of the game. This is Burnley who were fighting, who were promoted club, who were fighting relegation.
The goal difference of Man United is one, is plus one for Manchester United. Yeah. Now, there was a social media post I think I read, Rob, about, it's either about you or me or both of us. You know, it's the same negative hit on Manchester United. Mm. What positive spin, what positivity can we give towards Man United and Eric Ten Hag?
Okay, it's a good point.
In terms of thinking about, are we always negative to this team?
Okay, it's a really good point. I think there's a group, whether they've merged or it's been forced, of young talent that is the basis of what could be the future. Hoyland, Garnacho, Omad, Mainoo, Kambwala.
Yeah, centre-back, yeah.
Centre-back. Yeah. Amongst one or two maybe others in the game. Yeah. So there's four, five or six. Bruno Fernandes is a... in the right team, top class.
I like him.
Top class. International professional footballer who can help you. Beyond that, Rob, I'm starting to on a playing basis.
Yeah. There's been moments.
In 2 years at the football club, will put him in good stead because somebody else coming in hasn't got that experience of knowing what Manchester United is and about and running it. So
he's got him in an FA Cup final.
He's got an FA
against Man City.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't an amazing semi-final, but they found a way to get through. So,
they won the cup last year, didn't they?
They won the League Cup last year. So, they're the positive bits for it, and that's the things that the new Ineos directors will be thinking about in terms of is he continuing his last year of his contract at Ten Hag, or they get somebody. So they'll of course have all the picture, have all the numbers, all the stats, and there'll be the eye test, of course, what they've seen up to this point to the end of the season to decide whether he continues. I just think what the amount of evidence now, particularly this season, with the step back that's taken from last year, I just think it'd be really surprising to continue when it's going to be so fresh, so new, new director of football, new technical director, so much new.
I've missed a point, actually, and it's an important point. The injuries.
Yeah.
The injuries is something he's rarely had been able to have his best team. Now, why those injuries are coming, why those numbers are... I mean, you made a note this weekend of the amount of injuries Manchester United have got at the moment. It's incredible.
Yeah. There's a few clubs like that. Chelsea's the other one.
Yeah, yeah. Newcastle... So, a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, whether it's the longer games, the extra stoppage time or whatever. But that's a good point. I think, did I read something that there's like 60-odd injuries?
60-odd injuries had over this season,
Which makes it difficult, But for me, it doesn't explain some of the tactics of the manager and being like a basketball game where it's like, we have a bunch of guys up there, you go and do your thing, and then we're trying to defend back here. Yeah. That is mind-blowing a little bit to me. But anyway, let's see if he finishes strongly, maybe, and
wins the FA Cup.
Wins the FA Cup, maybe they'll continue him starting next year and say, you know what, we're in a transitional period, but we want Erik ten Hag to continue.
It's interesting what the new ownership see about
we'll
it.
We'll see.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
I'm ready to go! Streaming now only on Peacock. Five rich and famous international soccer stars. They have everything except love.
I think girls in the past have gone for me because of what I've got.
That's why we're going undercover.
We're setting them up with single American women.
They don't know we are famous. They don't know we are rich.
And they'll have to hide their true identity.
What do you need for work?
I'm an ad salesman.
Oh, God. What am I doing?
Love Undercover. New series streaming now only on Peacock.
For the world's greatest athletes.
This is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record!
For the United States, unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this.
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics, this summer on NBC and streaming on Peacock.
All right, other results, my friend, I think we're into now. Newcastle United 5, Sheffield United 1. Yeah. Sheffield United, Rob.
Relegated.
A quick summary of Sheffield United. Sold their two best players at the start of the season.
Yes.
That being said, they did spend money on three or four. I haven't got the number, the specifics, but they did spend some money on four or five players to replace those two players. Sanigaberg is one of them, and Njai, the goal scorer, went to Marseille.
Yeah.
I think the club that he supported as a kid or whatever. They just haven't been good enough. Paul Heckenbottom started off.
Was it 97 goals now? Is it?
Yeah, we're into record-breaking territory in terms of goals against at 97 now. We're still three games to play. Yeah. And Chris Wilder was the emotional choice to come and rekindle, try and get them going again and create a bit of chaos or whatever he said at the time. But it hasn't really helped.
No.
He does have a year left on his contract, Chris Wilder. And I do think...
I think they'll be given a chance, won't they?
Yeah, him and his coaching staff will be... You know, let's sort through what we have is good and make some changes. And they'll have a good chance next year. I think they'll have a good chance to come back up again.
It's interesting because Britton Diaz has gone in there and done quite well. Harmer's a good footballer. McAtee's a decent player. There's one or two in there, aren't they, who are on loan, and whether they'll go back and they lose those. But
I think so.
Britton
Diaz is a very interesting player.
Yeah.
He has looked really good. Yeah, scored five goals in 10, is it?
Five goals in 10, on loan from Villarreal. Mm. But,
so we say goodbye to Sheffield United in the Premier League.
Aston Villa 2, Chelsea 2. Classic game of two halves in some respects. Villa get 2-0 up at half-time. Chelsea come back. And showed, again, a Chelsea team that's had some criticism, Rob. I thought second half, we were reasonably critical at half-time and saying, well, we have possession, we've got to turn that into something. They did in the second half.
They did.
And, they will feel they're unlucky, didn't they? They had the goal that was disallowed with the foul, Badiashile on Carlos. and Diassi scores the goal.
And that was a foul, by the way.
Yeah, it was a foul.
That was absolutely a foul. Huge reaction from the team, yeah, from the manager.
Yeah,
office.
Yeah.
That's like a shove in the middle, yeah, of the back. That definitely was a foul. Cole Palmer went through Robert, nearly scored as well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, 2-2, yeah.
So fair play, Chelsea. That was a good fight back.
It was a good fight back.
I didn't see that coming. I thought Villa were in control. Playing a little,
I think,
bit
Unai would have been really disappointed in his team, wouldn't he? 2-0 up at half time, you know, supposedly in control, and then they didn't really see the job off.
I mean, nothing dramatic's going to happen at Chelsea, Rob, is it, in the summer, in terms of the manager?
No, I don't think so. It's what's happening in terms of players, Rob, is going to be the issue. Is this? It would seem, again, that injuries withstanding, and I know they've got
a few. 13 injuries at Chelsea.
Yeah. But are we feeling this group is good enough? Has got enough around it in terms of experience and know-how? Because I'm with you, kind of shaking my head.
No.
I think it needs a little mix-up.
There's some good bits.
But you need other better... you need a couple of 24, 25, 26-year-old players,
that,
mate.
Rob. He said we need some experienced players.
Yeah, who knows what they're doing?
What worries me is that all that money got spent, and we know they were very close to the PSR, the Financial Fair Play rules. They ended up selling a hotel, I think, to make sure they were compliant.
Yeah.
So if they have got holes they want to improve...
Where's the space?
Where's the money? I mean, so that's got to be a concern.
They end up selling.
I mean, maybe Conor Gallagher gets sold and he'll be pure profit, which would be a shame, because I think he's a really good player. But they may have to sell some, Rob, to try and improve the bits that they don't think is quite good enough.
Let's move on to Goodison. Everton 1, Brentford 1. They back up the Derby win with a good home win for Brentford, which is enough to secure Premier League status for Sean Dyche. And with all this gone on that football club, Rob, and the 8-point deduction and the financial issues and the ownership issues, got to say, you know, and I know at times Sean Dyche's football and they were on a bad run. He's done a good job, mate.
He has done a good job, and he's reaffirmed that in the last few weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, wow, one win in 15. They got hammered, didn't they, off Chelsea 6-0.
Chelsea got beat them 6.
I'm saying, I think in our pod, I'm kind of worried.
Yeah.
They can't seem to be able to win a game. When they really need it, and we were there firsthand last year, the last game of the season, the Corey Voice.
Him and Moisey, the two.
They find a way.
Slightly old school. They find a way, mate.
Yeah, and those goals are valuable because their defence is so strong.
Defence is so strong, yeah. Gay with a goal this time was enough to give them the points. We saw Wolves 2, Luton 1. Yi Chang Wang and Gomez scoring the goals for Wolves, and then Colton Moyes getting one back later on for Luton. Luton's just not quite as we thought. I thought a month ago Luton were the one team that were a chance of getting out.
And Nottingham Forest.
Yeah.
They've had a nightmare run. They've had a nightmare run.
They're
and Luton are right behind them, and they've had opportunities. It was a Brentford one, wasn't it? Brentford last weekend was the last game where they lost at home badly. I'm like, God, what an opportunity that was. And this was still an opportunity to get back and overtake Nottingham Forest. All that being said, after 35 games, right, there's three games left for all of these three teams. Burnley 24 points.
And by the way, we haven't given Burnley enough credit for the point at Man United.
No, we
Vincent Kompany and his team deserve a lot of credit, mate. They're playing good football.
Yeah, they kept going the same way, by the way.
They have. They've never veered away from what they want to do. Well played to him and his players.
So they're the ones with the momentum, 24 points.
Yeah.
Luton 25, Nottingham Forest 26.
Yeah.
Now, there's an appeal that's going to get, has been heard.
Yeah.
The result of that will be this week. This upcoming week, whether they get any of those points back.
That could be huge. That could decide the season, by the way. They get a point. A point at this stage.
Why would they get a point? I just don't know how they...
Well, unless they, you know, it's not seen as it was as bad or they've done as much or whatever.
Yeah.
But Burnley host Forest on the last day of the season, May the 19th. It could be the biggest playoff game to stay in the league that we've had.
It's a playoff game if it gets that point.
Three points for a win,
I mean... It's almost like whoever can get a blimmin' win
One win in the next game could be the difference.
Relegation thing. Yeah. So that's going to be great. And don't we love that? Don't we love that there's a race at the top?
Yeah.
And there's a really tight race at the bottom as well with teams that are struggling. And Burnley, if they end up staying up, Rob.
God,
that's
Vincent
some story,
Kompany.
By the way. Yeah, absolutely.
Well done, Vincent.
Where it looked like they were down and out. Any other games
The Cottage Fulham 1, Crystal Palace 1. Both teams pretty much safe. Muniz with the header from the Schlupp with a
beauty. With the beauty
slap
in the top.
From 87.
Top corner.
Top bins, mate. And
Bournemouth 3, Brighton 0.
Sneaky good.
Bournemouth 10th in the table, I believe, are they?
Yeah, I mean,
top half the table.
They're above Wolves, yeah. They're at 10th spot now.
Brighton going the other way a little bit. There's a bit of talk out there since, you know, De Zerbi's name's been linked to a few of these jobs and whatever, that whether that's affected.
And remember that interview he did where he's like, you know, I don't know which direction the club want to go in.
Yeah, it just feels like it's a bit awkward.
Is it gone a little bit, not stale, but... And you won't get too many bad words from me when I see where they are on the table.
Yeah,
he's
a brilliant manager.
And the Europa League. Yeah. And they lost three of their best players last year.
It almost looks like they could do a sorting out what's going to happen this summer and then get their head back to it. Because there's a good group. He's a top manager.
Yeah.
And should be doing better. But, yeah, Bournemouth get the week. All right, mate, that about wraps it up for this weekend. When City and Arsenal both get wins, but Liverpool fell further away. And at the bottom, it's 2 from 3 to go down now, with Sheffield United relegated this weekend. We'll be back next Sunday. That's May the 5th, when we'll recap match week 36. To see if Arsenal can beat Bournemouth, to see Man City can get over Wolves, and Liverpool take on Spurs at Anfield. Will Mo Salah be in the team? But for now, I'm Earl, he's Musty, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, stay healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him.
Good night.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.